I'll tell you what she looked like. This might not mean anything to you, but they're the bane of my life. She looked like an autograph hunter. Now, these people are the Epsilon Miners of society. Even train spotters look down on autograph hunters. They've all got this haircut, right? Everything is tucked in. They've always got, like, a satchel where they just rip things out of the Radio Times. Sign this, Ricky. Yeah. Sign this. Sign this. That's a piece of toast, mate. What? Not one of them symmetrical. I mean, they're a mess. I don't mean their clothes. I mean their fucking DNA. It's just... Back to handsome. I was doing a radio interview a while back on Capital Radio in Leicester Square, and it was live, which is always a mistake because these little freaks hear you at home. And nowadays, because of the phone scandals, if something's pre-recorded, they have to tell you about it. So if it really is live, they bang on about it. And they were going, he's actually here now in the heart of London. It's Ricky Gervais. It's 10:45. And they hear you and they go, he's there. And they come along and wait for you. They know where you are, that, right? And I was coming down the stairs after the interview, and the security guard said, oh, there's a few autographs. And I went, oh. I went up there, and there were about 16 of them. That, I don't know the collective noun. Gaggle of mongs. Right? Right? And the first thing that hits you is the BO. It is staggering, okay? And so I'm nice to them. They're strong. And, fuck it. And I'm signing, I'm getting away, and as I'm going away, right, I feel something hit me there, and I look down, and it wasn't one of them. It was this old lady that had sort of wandered over the square. She was about 60, 65, really sort of grimy, right, and sort of had a bandana with sort of tassels on it, and sort of these, a robe thing, and sort of bangles, and she was selling, like, some sort of twig in tin foil. Again, I don't know the politically correct term. Is it smelly traveller? I think it is. And she went, lucky Heather. I went, no thanks. I want to go back. I go, what? Lucky Heather? Is it? How lucky is it? Because you're covered in the shit and you're begging in Leicester Square. So, fucking maggot. Get off me. I hope you enjoy the show. This is nearly the end of the UK leg of the tour. Then I'm off to America to finish that off. And then I'm doing the rest of the world. It's going to be the first world comedy tour. And then I'm going to enter Britain's Got Talent. Because that's when the career really... Look at Susan Boyle, if you can. Fucking hell. Jesus Christ. Oh. Shocking. Be fair, though. Because usually in the music industry, it's all about image, isn't it? You can't just have a great voice and a great talent. You've got to be young and thin and trendy and pretty. And she's turned all that on its head. Although, I think it's the same powers of image, just working in reverse with her. Because I don't think she has got a great voice, actually. I think she's fooled a lot of people. It's sort of like mock opera for people who don't know any better. But I don't think she'd be where she was today if it wasn't for the fact that she looked like such a fucking mong. He said mong. Yeah, he did. Yeah. You can't say mong. You can, it's fucking easy. It's one of the easiest words to say. It's like, mong. And it's like, you just need lips. Even mongs can say it. That's part of the beauty of the word. They don't consider it a prick, I'm sure. But why does he get away with it and no one else can? Ban him from the telly. Good luck. And even if they do ban me from the telly, I'll just go around and shout mong through their window. I care about it that much. It's just words, and there is no better word to describe Susan Boyle. When she first came on the telly, right, when she first came on the telly, I went, is that a mong? You all did. And you're meant to. Like the judges hadn't planned that, didn't they? They knew her in rehearsal. They knew that was going to happen. They knew the headline was going to be, oh, voice of an angel, face of a mong. And they were right, and we all fell for it, you know? And I don't mean she has Down syndrome, by the way. No, that would be offensive. That word doesn't mean that anymore. It's far removed from that. We don't use that word to describe that condition. What about the derivation? Never mind the derivation. Words change. When I came here tonight, I called you all cunts, remember? That used to be an insult, but now it's a term of endearment. So...
Words change. OK.
I was sitting at home, I think it was about the second week in January. I don't know if you saw it. I was watching telly, and there was that programme, Celebrity Stars and Their Doubles, with Dale Winton. Yeah, sure, there was a Brent lookalike. Who won his category? Just a fat bloke. He had a tie and a goatee. Just a fat bloke. Most like Brent in the world. Unbelievable. About 45, about 18 stone. In fact, he was so fat that when he got up to get his award off Dale, he actually had that fat bloke waddle. And Dale Winton said, "You even walk like Ricky Gervais." Not even Brent anymore. Just... just a fat bloke he was, though. I couldn't believe it. So I've started wearing black all the time now. Got a complex. It's slimming. It works. Pavarotti always wears black, doesn't he? And now you see him in Pasta when he's a chunky little fucker. I love it when rock stars get involved. I absolutely love it. The political song. Ooh. Look out, mate. He's got a guitar. He's saying what he thinks in C. It's OK when it's people like, you know, Bob Dylan. But I love it when pop stars have a go. Yeah. Do you remember Culture Club's classic? They'd been singing Karma Chameleon for too long. And they came up with the war song. Ooh. And in that, they go, war is stupid and people are stupid. How's that going to change your mind? I mean, if you're into war, you're loving war. You love it. It's your favourite thing. You go, I mean, you're in a plane. You're going to bomb the shit out of a country. Oh, I can't wait to get there. I love bombing people. Oh, nearly there. Put the radio on. Oh. War is stupid and people are stupid. We're going home. Boy George there. He piled on the pounds when he gave up the smack, didn't he? There's a fable there, kids. Every action has a consequence, so... Billy Joel, after singing things like Uptown Girl, he then revealed his classic, his protest song against the world, We Didn't Start the Fire. And in that song, it's basically a list, in chronological order, right, from 1949 to 1989, and he just mentions sort of 6 to 8 things each verse. I just read, he goes... Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific Water, Witchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe. That's not a song. That's a conversation with Rain Man. I think the first protest song that actually made a difference was Do They Know It's Christmas? And particularly pointed to us in Britain, because we used to own and run Africa. And then the end of the 50s, they wanted independence, and slowly we started giving it back to Africa. And by the end of the 60s, it was totally Africa-owned and Africa-ruled course. In the 80s, we get a phone call. Thatcher answers, "Hello. Hello, it's Africa. What do you want?" "We're all starving and that." "Oh, starving. Don't give me that phone. You should have thought of that before you wanted independence." "Yeah, we didn't know there was going to be a drought." "Drought? I'll give you a fucking drought. In the long, hot summer of 1976, we had a hosepipe ban in Reading. Just before we leave Bestiali, I do want to... point out one thing. Obviously, I've never been a fan. I'm sure you never have. But there's one thing that sort of got under the radar of what's acceptable. The mermaid. Why is that OK? Why is this a... Do you know what I mean? The erotic siren beguiles men. She's half fish. That is bestiality, innit, if you get off with a mermaid. Do you know what I mean? If there was a mermaid there, a lovely naked mermaid sitting on a rock, combing her hair with, like, fish... bone, right? And she wanted me, and I'm walking along, she went, "Hi, Ricky." I went, "All right." She went, "I love the office." I went, "Thanks very much."
Well done on the BAFTA. Two. Get it right, Scaly, if you're trying to impress me. I'd go, OK, let's have a look. Good hair like that, pretty face, yeah, they're good. No! What the fuck? It's a fish. Isn't it? It's a half. Don't get me wrong, of all the fishy type things in the sea, she's the best. I mean, the breasts alone take her ahead of the turbot, the mackerel. I'm not. You know. But I'm not just going to shag her for the halibut. Sorry. cut that. We'll cut that. Forget. Okay. Oh, dear. But now all I'm thinking of is fish puns. Do you do that? Well, I don't think of any. Right. No, what I'd do is I'd go, yeah, like that, right? But I'd still say no, because she's a fish monster. You know what I mean? And if I had to, if I had to sleep with a fish woman combo, I mean, that's the way round I'd do it. I mean, do you know what I mean? I said that to a friend of mine who isn't a little mental kid from Reading, OK? He's a commission editor at E4, right? I was having a conversation with him. I said, that's the way around to do it. He went, I wouldn't. I went, what? He went, I'd have it the other way. I went, you'd rather shag a big fish head with legs? And he went, yes. I went, what are you talking? There's other things you could do with a mermaid. And he was getting so stressed out. He went, oh, what are you going to do, Gervais? Fucking make her laugh.